This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good morning. It's Saturday, a little after 7. You're listening to 970 AM, The Apple, The Talk of New York. This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Once a week, every Saturday. Another week down, another work week down. If you're in that 9 to 5 world, I'm in the 24/7, 365. I'm still reeling from last week. I've been thinking about these guys since I met them last week. Little Paul and Big Paul, Paul Sebring and Paul Wagner. They went down to Haiti after the earthquake. I know last week's show was about Haiti and what they experienced down there and how they helped out. But in a roundabout way, you know, that's a global, well, not global, but international disaster. And I'm talking most of the time about preparedness. Like, we had the chiefs on the week before, Captain Dan O'Brien from Fire Department, Chief Dorchek. So, you know, regarding the preparedness, you know, we had Nick Moracy from the New Jersey Office of Emergency Management. And some other fellows with the ham radio, and, you know, all my guests, you know, go to cppems.com, go to the webpage, look at the past guests. You know, the comment page, the questions and comment page, you know, you can ask something for, you know, Bruce Wolf from The Environmentalist, or Dave Fenyahazi from Fabricanal, or the ham radio guy, John Cremendi, you know, or any of the other past guests. And, you know, it doesn't have to be from this show, even though most of it is, when we do see those questions there, it's relative to the show that just ended. But you can ask those other people questions, because they check the website and they see if anything's you know, on there applicable to them. But this entire week I've been talking back and forth with Big Paul, Little Paul, because I am just completely floored by these two guys. True Americans, really. That's how I look at it. Volunteering, going down to another country, a hostile. Because, I mean, there's no infrastructure, there's no structure, no government services, nothing. And these guys go down there to help out. Bottom line, help out. They have some experience in the medical field. And Little Paul's got, he's kind of a jack of all trades, which when the proverbial you-know-what hits the fan, those guys excel. It's good to have some knowledge about a lot of little things. And go also, if you want to go onto Men's Journal, there's a great article about these two guys. It's called let me take a peek at it again. It's the Haitian Cowboys, I think that's the title of it. It's Haiti's Cowboys EMTs. He mentions other people in there too. So I've been going back and forth with these guys this past week, seeing how I can help. What can I donate? And what we did was we're making up T-shirts. And the nonprofit organization they formed, it's called Materials Management Relief Corps. It's MMRC. The T-shirts are very cool. You can go on my website and go to their link and see it, and you know, buy a T-shirt or tank top. I have somebody here in the tri-state area who's making these up as we speak, and going to ship them down when Big Paul goes back down this Sunday. Little Paul's already back down there. So again, you know, the show is about preparedness and mitigating further damage when disasters and emergencies strike your personal life or your business. But these guys were fascinating, and I think it's a story that needed to be told. Again, you know, with the world, how small it really has become between the information highway and the jet setting and so on. You can be anywhere in the world in, you know, under 24 hours. You know, if Haiti doesn't, or another country doesn't get their act together, the tsunamis or Pakistan with their floods, it has a direct, whether you think it or not, it has a direct effect on us, the Americans, because, you know what, we have to give out relief. We got to drop supplies. Who's paying for that? You know what? You and I are. So it's best off to help them get their stuff back in order, get their government services back in order, Big Paul is saying they don't even have a 911 system, and that's his main goal over the next couple of years, to get them with a 911 and an EMT strategy for when these things happen, because they get rained on every year. They have massive mudslides. So, you know, helping them out and getting their so-called act together, is it less burden on the United States? Because let's call it what it really is. I mean, every time something happens, whether we're their friend or not, we're always sending aid. We're the bank, we're the policemen, these are my opinions, but it always seems to be, why are we in that country? Most of the time, it's we better help out, because if no one does, you know what? Then you're going to have boat people. Then you're going to have influx of people coming into this country, and then where you're at, then you're spending twice as much money. I think a couple of weeks ago we were talking about what it costs this country to react to a disaster. But if we were to set aside dollars for a disaster, again, being prepared, again, this is what the show is about, being prepared, we would save money if we set it aside opposed to when the disaster happened, then all of a sudden we need all this money to do X amount of things, whatever that may be, the Katrinas or the 9/11s or whichever, you know, California wildfires. So the funds are released, whoever manages that money, GAO, Government General Accounting Organization or office or something. So we spend all this money when it does happen. And that comes back to even now it comes back to how we I can make it seem more simplistic for the homeowner, the business owner in our region or around the country, whichever, wherever you're listening, having dollars set aside or having a plan in place where when these things happen. I know a hot water heater, you can go buy one for $800 to a couple of $1,000. Your plumber comes in. You know, a hot water heater lasts 6 years to 10 years. You know, most plumbers, you know, on an emergency standpoint, you're in for $3,000-$4,000. But if you plan or you replace it, it's less costly. You don't have, also, you don't have that, the water damage. You don't meet me. I don't have to dry your place out. I don't have to rebuild your basement or your second floor where some people have different, multiple hot water heaters. So again, it's about preparedness and preparing for the disasters, the emergencies. But I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go to the website and catch that link with Little Paul and Big Paul. Because like I said before, I've been thinking about those guys all week and I've been talking to them back and forth. We're getting these T-shirts made up for them. Anybody who buys a T-shirt, it's pure going right. It's going right to help the Haitian people, and also help Paul and Paul. And I mean, I think last week during the show, when we were doing the show, Little Paul got a text from a couple of Marines that just got rotated back from Afghanistan. Instead of going home, they went to Haiti. So talk about civic duty and volunteerism, and I mean, talk about that's true American icon stuff in my book. So again, I'm going to keep on repeating myself. It's MMRC. That's that is the Materials Management Relief Corps. That's what Little Paul and Big Paul, what they formed. And it's just it was exhilarating to meet a couple of guys. It is unselfishness to go down there and just drop what they're doing and help out. And I think that's the American spirit. So you can go to twitter.com/DRH Radio, and you can follow me because. Little Paul and Big Paul, they're on the Twitter also, and their website is mmrcglobal.org. Again, I was just these guys are going to be recurring guests for me. They're going to give me updates every couple of months, so not even a couple months. I think we were talking about every three weeks. And with my guest today is Tim Falconer of Wave Place Foundation. He's also going in down to Haiti. They deal with the helping set up education and computer systems, but I'll get into that further after the break when he joins me. Again, you can cppems.com. You can catch all my previous shows and ask questions from my previous guests. Also with twitter.com/DRH Radio. Let's not forget about the chief and the captain a couple of weeks ago. That was a great show. Because it was Fire Prevention Month actually it was only the week, which again, it boggles my mind why we only have it for 1 week with all the fire departments in this country trying to do their open nights and bringing the town folk and city folk in and take a look at some of the new plans and protocols they have set for battling disasters. It was Dan O'Brien, Captain Dan O'Brien, and Chief Fedorchek. Those guys had a lot of stuff. And again, you know, we have the comments page. If you just join us, this is the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every morning, Saturday morning, starting at a little after 7 a.m., 970 The Apple, talking New York. And we got some heavy hitters throughout the week. There's Curtis and Dennis Miller and a few of the others. Me, I'm just on the Saturday mornings. But let's go to a break and when we come back, we'll go to our guest and pick up from there.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back. This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Each week in, week out, we talk about preparedness and for disasters, emergencies that happen and enter into your lives, whether it's personal, professional, or neighborhoods, collective towns, volunteering, and things of that nature. Some on the insurance side, some on the volunteer side, some on the fire department side. This past week, last week, we kind of turned the show into a different direction. I had met over the internet because there's a I have a Twitter page. I'm not very good with the computer stuff, but there's a following out there of the show, and a couple of guys came across the show and we started talking. And one was Little Paul and Big Paul, and they were from last week. I talked about them in the first before we went to break originally, and their experiences and what they how they got into the volunteering of going down to Haiti, and Little Paul and his story and how his experiences have changed his life. And then there's Big Paul. There's a great article in, like I said at the beginning, there's a great article in Men's Journal, and it chronicles a daily life of these two guys along with some other EMTs. Big Paul's got the experience of being an emergency room technician. Little Paul is, like I said before, the jack of all trades. Was, I think, when it hits the fan, those guys are a valued commodity and just great people. I mean, just the hearts are on their sleeve. I can't say enough. I can't talk about enough about those guys. So, like I said, we kind of turned the show into a larger scale disaster. Again, and then this past week we had a double one out in Indonesia with the tsunami and the volcano. Again, those things they're not applicable to the United States area per se. That last week's show was just so much information that it kind of brought it into this week, even though the Paul and Pauls are now down and back down to Haiti. Back in the boots on the ground, as they say, and fighting the good fight, and trying to make that country get back on its feet. It's been 9 months and change at this point. What kind of ricocheted off of that is another person I came in contact with, Tim Falconer. He's the I guess you can say owner of Wave Place Foundation, and what they do is they provide laptops for impoverished countries. I mean, that's what the mantra is, and what they're entrenched in right now is the Haiti situation. What's going on down there? And Tim, glad to have you on the show. I didn't understand the nonprofit world. It's I was just thought about. Everyone knows about Red Cross, but there's a lot of different ones that do a lot of great work that don't get the ink that the bigger ones get. I would say Wave Place is trying to make its mark. How you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. I'm preparing for my trip down to Haiti in 3 days.
In 3 days. So let's get a little background on the startup of Wave Place Foundation.
Well, it began a little over 3 years ago. I heard about the one laptop per child effort. One thing led to another, and we started our first pilot in the U.S. Virgin Islands using these little laptops and creating training materials. And a way of teaching teachers how to teach this stuff. And since then, we've done 18 pilots in various locations in the Caribbean and Central America.
So, this is now after nine months of change down in Haiti, Big Paul and Little Paul, they're still doing the triage, if you will, the physical part of getting that country back. Now, this is what you're establishing is the future, because there's that old phrase of educating the youth will be prosperous for the future. That's probably your driving force here.
Yeah, absolutely, especially in a place like Haiti. The education system in Haiti has a lot of problems. Only 5% of children graduate high school, and only half ever go to school at all. So, I think long term the teach them to fish approach is all about education, and we use these little laptops almost like portable schools to help them learn creative problem solving, critical thinking, learning to think for themselves.
Well, my kids, my daughter we got her a laptop a couple of years ago, and you know, like adults, they get scared of machinery. They had to learn it, but the kids are just they're enthralled to get into something new. So when let's just use just one kid as an example, getting one to is it a salvation? Is it the curiosity is more the driving force on how to work it? What is the eyes light up? Tell me a little bit of that experience.
Sure. And there's one little girl that I could mention that is from our Laogan pilot, which is in the epicenter of the earthquake, almost complete and total devastation. And she had just had her father kill her mother before the earthquake, moved in with her grandmother, and then her grandmother's house and all the houses around it got destroyed by the earthquake. And we were interviewing her after she'd been taking, you know, doing the laptop class for a while. And she said that sometimes the sadness gets so strong that she can't breathe, but she hugs her laptop to her chest and then she feels better. So I think there's a real sense of feeling special, feeling hope, you know, and feeling like you can do something as opposed to just kind of sit idly by and wait for things to change.
I guess, you know, I remember my parents talking about that with my grandparents during the Depression, going to the movies, you know, getting some form of hope going through the movies. I'm not so much taking them out of reality, but you know, I guess the light of hope. So when they have this, what is a rudimentary type of work on the computer? What are you teaching them?
Actually, quite the opposite. You know, the stuff that most people think of when they think of a computer, because of this special software that's on these laptops, the kids can figure it out all on their own. We don't teach them web browsing. We don't teach them, you know, word processing. I mean, a lot of these things they can do on their own. We teach them a program called eToys, Squeak eToys, which is actually computer programming for kids. And we teach them how to make their own games and how to you know, do animation and this kind of thing. And it really instills children, and like I said, it helps to get them thinking in a creative way.
Well, if you just joined us, it's the AM 970 The Apple Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. I'm speaking with Tim Falconer. Tim is the founder of Wave Place Foundation. It's a nonprofit organization that gives one laptop per child. And, you know what, Tim, let me just real quick, because I like to do the promos, and like last week with Little Paul and Big Paul, I kept on giving out MMRC global.org, which is their website. What is your website so I can, like I like to say, I like to pound the listeners with websites. What's the website?
Waveplace.org.
So let's expand on the teaching part of it. Last week, the Little Paul and Big Paul were talking about their main goal over the next couple of years is to get a 911 system down in Haiti, along with an EMT schooling and the ambulance corps and so on and so forth. What kind of infrastructure is laid in place, or are you in the process of doing the infrastructure for that?
Well, it varies from location to location. We've done pilots that had no electricity in the school, and we used solar panels. These can be powered with $40 solar panels. And a lot of places, they have solar on the roofs. We're working through schools and other organizations, and a lot of times they have power, whether it's diesel generator, whether it's solar. You know, I would say that our overarching goal is to create models of success, places that people can visit and be impressed, so that this teaching approach using technology, using guided discovery is one of our big things, can expand to other areas in the country. So we hope to have 16 schools using these laptops by the summer.
Now, you know, I keep on mentioning Little Paul and Big Paul and their frustrations with trying to help because there's so many roadblocks, and which is understandable. You talk about a country in complete disarray and trying to get back on its feet again. What are some of the roadblocks that you're experiencing?
There's constant roadblocks. I mean, it's usually little things. You know, the Haitian expression, there are mountains beyond mountains. It's like every time you solve one problem, there's another problem behind it. I would say the hardest thing, you know, is the adults, training the adults, finding good mentors to carry on the spirit and the enthusiasm of the project. But we've had good success in the last spring. We've trained 30 mentors last spring, and we're going to be training a bunch more next December. And so that's really the most important thing, is to train Haitians, to help Haitians, and keep things going.
So we're talking with Tim Falconer, who's the founder of Wayplace Foundation. We're talking about the one laptop per child. You know, we're going to go to a break, but when we get back, we're going to try to talk about some of the, more of the finer details and nuances and how this came about. And you told me a story about before about your daughter. This is the AM 970, The Apple, talking New York. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, for the Disaster Recovery Hour every Saturday mornings. We're going to go to a break. Be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back. This is Chris Plunkett, Disaster Recovery Hour. Every time we got to go to a break, got to pay a couple bills, keep the lights on. Today's guest is Tim Falconer. He's the founder of Wayplace Foundation. So how did you get into the nonprofit?
Well, I run a software company, and I've been that's what I do for a living. I make computer software, usually large systems. And so I had my daughter had been born, and she, I guess she was about maybe 6 months old. And I would be talking to a bunch of big egos, pacing back and forth on a teleconference, and talking about, you know, medical patient records or insurance jargon. And I'd get off the phone, and then I would play with my daughter. And more, I wanted to do something to help make her world better. And then this connected with me finding out about the One Laptop Per Child initiative. And I went down to the Virgin Islands and coincidentally met a senator, and one thing led to another, and we were doing pilots.
Just pretty much like that. What was the time frame on that whole experience?
Well, it was 6 months from the time that I first said, "Hey, this would be cool," to actually starting our first pilot. And our pilot was in the Virgin Islands, had the 21st EXO laptops off the assembly line. So it was just kind of coincidental that we got the first ones.
Who's producing the laptops?
An organization called One Laptop Per Child. Their mantra is to, you might have heard of the $100 laptop,
Right.
Quite $100, but they've been in the news quite a lot. And so we use them because they are terrific for places like Haiti.
Right. So when you're going, you'll be going down there. Who are the main people, or is it a collective? Listen, you need to get face to face with. There's targets you're after, or is it go down? I mean, I'm sure you're a businessman. You have a plan, but to execute that plan, how do you go about that?
Well, we're hoping I'm going to be visiting 10 schools and visiting 10 organizations in 12 days. So that's our plan right now. So the schools, I want to visit our existing pilots that we've got going on. We've got 7 pilots we did last spring, and I want to see how they're all doing. I also want to visit new schools. We got so far 8 school visits where we can do new pilots. And I'm also meeting with organizations like the Ministry of Education, hopefully hasn't gone through yet, but the UN, and also Save the Children and other organizations like that, trying to have them see what we've been doing so that they can help us make it sustainable.
I mean, do you do the same type of formula in this country? Like, I know it's the U.S. Virgin Islands, but you're down in Florida. Is that also correct?
Yeah. We did a pilot in Immokalee, Florida, which is one of the poorest towns in the United States, which is next to one of the richest towns in the United States, Naples, Florida. And this is where there are a lot of migrant workers that that live and pick our tomatoes. They actually make 70% of the winter harvest of the United States in Immokalee, Florida alone. So we went down there, and we had a very successful pilot, and we continue to try to do things there. And we've expanded our reach beyond that as well. We are consulting and doing training in the United States as well. So, you know, we're open to any working with any organization that would like to use either these EXO laptops or any laptop. Our courseware, our training works with any computer at all.
You know, You see the news, and you see other countries getting hit with earthquakes and tsunamis, and you say, you know, America's got so many problems. I'm not going to go down political because I'm not that kind of guy. You know, the show is about preparedness and disasters and how I can help you through my experiences or my expertise. But, you know, people say, hey, you know, why should I think about, you know, the Haitian children? But, I always talk about how the world has become so small that everybody is really our neighbor, know how many the distance in miles. So helping Haiti is really probably going to be is helping our future in some way or another. Because, you know, to get these other countries up and running, whether they've had disasters or not, it's almost like a mankind responsibility type of thing. Because the next thing you know, we're going to be dealing with some form of aid that we're going to be shelling out because they're not farming properly. I know, you know. So is that one of the things that you feel about? We're all part of the this big picture.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, I work closely with folks that are doing the same kind of stuff in Afghanistan, you know, so there's a good case you can make that it's a security thing as well. You know, I mean, Haiti has been struggling, you know, a 90-minute flight from Miami, right on our doorstep for, you know, two centuries. Right. And, you know, I mean, there's one thing which is, you know, that it's good in a kind of Marshall Plan kind of way for all of us. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, too, is, you know, my personal belief is that when your neighbor's house is on fire, you don't pull down the blinds.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And that's why I'm kind of I said about the Boy Scout scenario with me. You know, I enjoy my job because I know when I go out to somebody's home or somebody's business, I'm going to be putting them in the right direction, whether it's physically rebuilding them or just giving the right information on how the process of getting things back in order, because the insurance world could be a little you know, hard to navigate. If most people have never experienced fires and floods and neighbors, you know, damaging their property and how to go about rehabbing them or even just getting the ballroom with dollars and things. And that's kind of the same thing that you're doing. I mean, your daughter gets born and you're like, you know what? I need to do something to make her future a little less stressful for me to think about because it's not where I want it to be. So you go down to Haiti and you know what? I guess, you know, like one person can actually do a lot. And so when you're planning on going down to Haiti, is it a couple of weeks you'll be lasting down there?
I'll be down there for 2 weeks, yeah.
Now, could your one laptop per child, could that actually lead into other things? I mean, Paul and Paul were talking about, you know, the phone system is in disarray. And so in every disaster, I always try to look for the silver lining. You know what? Rebuilding is a benefit of having, you know, having a disaster. So getting things up and running properly. So we're talking also hardwares with wirings and coaxes and, you know, whatever the jargon you guys use in your computer world. Is that some of the things that you'll be dealing with too?
Well, for us, I think, you know, we did a lot of brainstorming right after the earthquake happened about how we can use these XOs in a more crisis response capacity. And, you know, we designed a software system, which we haven't implemented yet, which is basically a question and answer type thing where you could do surveys in villages and towns to find out what people's needs are and then put it into a, you know, a common area and kind of do a triage type thing and a matchmaking with services kind of thing. That's still definitely a possibility. The more laptops there are, the more this becomes a useful resource for gathering real information. You know, and plus there's just the more human benefits of having the people there connected with other people on the outside. You know, ultimately it'd be great if we had distance mentors, people who know of a certain subject who could work with children down there when perhaps the teachers aren't available.
So we talked about this country. Now, the Florida, down there by the Naples, the poorest city or town in the country. Are there other school districts that you've been thinking about trying to implement that a teacher, say, here in New York, teach a class? Is that a possibility?
Well, yeah. I mean, I grew up, I'm basically a New Yorker, so I would love to get back to my hometown. And we basically go wherever somebody asks us to go. And so far, no one in New York has asked us. There is also the entire city of Birmingham. All of the children have these laptops. By the way, the ages for these laptops is 6 years old to 12 years old. So they are aimed at elementary age kids.
Now, they're all brand new computers. Do you do rehabs on old, say, desktops and stuff, or it's just not it's not applicable?
Well, yeah, actually, we're working with an organization called World Computer Exchange, and that's exactly what they do. They take donated computers and then get them to places that need them around the world. They're in 71 countries right now, so they came to us because of our training component. We're not necessarily tied to the one laptop per child.
Okay. You know, with Big Paul and Little Paul, they said it was hard to volunteer because they said there were some issues with some red tape, and even though you had, you know, you read the article in Men's Journal about just making it happen, we're gonna problem solve. If someone wants to assist with you, how would they go about it?
Well, you know, we do everything through local partner organizations. We know what we don't know. So, you know, if you know of partner organizations that are doing work in Haiti, then we want to hear about that. We also need people to help us create educational courseware. So if, you know, you're a fourth grade teacher and you want to help out, then we can do that, and we can get things translated. And the last thing we need are translators, people that are fluent in particularly Haitian Creole and English, but also Spanish is another language that we're targeting because of other pilots we're doing.
We're going to go to break. I'll be right back with Tim.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back. We're talking with Tim Falconer, who's the founder of Wave Place Foundation. Tim and I were talking about, you know, teachers and matriculating that. My wife's actually a school teacher. She'll be interested to hear some of that. So, Tim, what's the overall goal here? What are you trying to teach them?
Well, this all comes from people like Maria Montessori and Seymour Papert, you know, where learning by doing is, you know, is the primary goal. We see computers as digital playgrounds that allow kids to play around with abstract ideas in much the way, same way that they play around with physical toys like blocks and so forth. One of the biggest problems is when children start learning abstract things like math and science and grammar, if it's not taught to them in a way that feels relevant, that engages them, then their attitudes about themselves get formed. They feel like they're not good at math. Hey, kid, here, do these 500 math problems. So what we're trying to do is use the computer as a way of introducing these concepts and kind of get them engaged and confident about these powerful ideas.
So, Tim, with that said, how's it going to help Haiti?
Well, when it comes right down to it, if you don't have education, then you don't have anybody to solve problems when they grow up. And, you know, right now the Haitian education system is strict rote memorization and strict discipline. And so ultimately this teaches children to do what they're told and to wait for answers from someone else.
Hmm.
We're trying to, you know, teach them to think for themselves and to come up with their own answers. And really, you know, that's the core of the solution, at least as far as I see it.
Well, if you just joined us, you're late. It's the AM 970, The Apple, talking New York. It's Chris Plunkett. This is Disaster Recovery Hour you're listening to. You can also follow us on Twitter.com, DRH Radio. My email address is cplunkett@cppems.com. And also the website at cppems.com. And there's a question and comments page you could you know, while you listen to the show, we'll be uplinked and so on and so forth. You can give Tim questions. He can answer them, or I can reach out for him. And he'll be going down to Haiti, so he can do it remotely also. We give him a couple of days. So, Tim, your objective is obviously, you know, I guess toys for guns kind of thing that we have sometimes in this country, getting a laptop, expanding a child's brain. It's just a maturation of human beings is to learn. You know, again, the show is Disaster Recovery Hour and about prevention and preparedness about disasters and recovery and emergencies that happen in your life. But you know what? The world is so small. The Haiti thing interests me a great deal because they are so close. There's a large Haitian community in the metropolitan tri-state area. So, Tim, let's give out some of the information, how they can get a hold of you, and also what some of the people, what are the big things and what are the small things that people could do to help you out?
Well, you can contact us by going to wayplace.org and clicking contact. And the things that we really need help with, you know, one of the things we're doing this trip is we're stitching together all the people, the children and the adults down in Haiti, so that we can communicate with them better. And so if we have more Haitian Creole speakers, you know, people in the Haitian diaspora community who would like to connect with individual teachers and children down in Haiti, then we can certainly use you, particularly if you're able to translate. And also, as I said before, we're looking to create training materials that are culturally sensitive down there. So anybody who's, you know, interested in third, fourth, fifth grade curriculum, particularly as it relates to Haiti, can really help us out.
Well, what I'll do is I'll reach out for Daniel Andre. He's the president of the Civic Organization for Haiti in Patterson. There's a pretty big contingency over there. I'll see if he knows anybody. I mean, he is the president of that organization. I'm sure he could be of assistance somehow. I read his article a couple of months ago, and here's a guy, you know, he's up here, lives up here, he's a, you know, American citizen, and he's got his regular job, but still looking out for his fellow countrymen. Does his regular job and comes home and goes and does this job. So I appreciate you coming on the program. That was informative. Again, it comes on the heels of Big Paul, Little Paul. We had two kind of different sides of the story here. You had the physical part with Paul and Paul talking about, unfortunately, lots of death and disease outbreak, and with this past week with the cholera outbreak, and, you know, 300-400 people that died down there. But the flip side is, you know, what you're doing on your nonprofits and your volunteering is you're looking at the future. What can we do to make this a better place? So, you know what, as well as Little Paul and Big Paul with the 911 system, you know, trying to rebuild, because, you know what, they're our immediate neighbor. They're right across, they're not too far away from the United States. And again, we have a lot of, this is a country of immigrants, and there's a large contingency of the Haitian people up here in our tri-state area. So, Tim, thanks a bunch. I appreciate coming on.
Thank you for having me.
The last 2 weeks, you know, it's been we've been talking about Haiti, but you know, it's not so much Haiti as much as it could be anywhere else. And then, you know, what Tim Falconer was talking about, you know, educating, and, you know, in these times when these disasters happen, especially like with the tsunami, you know, again, I'm not going to go political on you, but when the poor countries are hurting and they're looking for help and people aren't stepping up, that's when some of these unsavory characters like to start to, recruit and talk about, again, I won't go political, but recruit some of the people that don't look favorably on our country. So let's get back to the roots of the program, which is preventativeness. You know, my past guests, you know, they use that common page. You know, you can, you know, Dave Enyohazi from Fabric Renewal and John Grimetti. You know, I haven't spoken to John for a while. I want to revisit that. I think another 10 minutes with him in a couple of weeks to just bring to the forefront about the ham radio, the amateur radio operators. I thought that was really interesting. I'm a lucky guy. I get to meet some interesting people in my field. I don't know everything. I don't plan on knowing everything, but in each little discipline of the emergency service business, and even the reconstruction part of it, you really meet some fascinating people. And I'm very lucky to have really like a team, like not like Batman and, you know, normal guys and women who know the business of emergency services and emergency restoration, I should say, not emergency services, not like EMTs. Those guys are heroes as long as with the boys in blue. So back to the roots of the program, you know, we had the fire prevention, which is, I think, you people look at the website, you know, ask questions, one of the captain or the chief, Also, there's the hygienist, the air quality thing that you can talk to Bruce Wolfe from Garden State Environmental. Big Kevin Teeterman from Premier Drying Solutions. He had some questions that were shot out to him, and we answer them for the folks out there. Again, bring those. It doesn't have to be today or last week's show. So I hope you enjoyed this segment. This is Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm Chris Plunkett, your host, every here at AM 970 The Apple, talking to New York every Saturday morning. And enjoy the rest of the weekend, and we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, from CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. You can reach Chris by calling 201-483-8953. And don't forget to tune in every Saturday morning at 7 for the Disaster Recovery Hour, right here on AM 970, The Apple.